Good evening, everybody. This is Pam Metz, president of CLUA, Library Users of America, and this is our evening program, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the evening program, or afternoon or late afternoon for us. We have two guests. They are both from regional they're both from libraries. It's still a regional library.
Yep. Yes, okay, it
thank
is.
You very much.
It's 1934.
Okay. And we have Lisa Dupour, and you have to, I didn't understand the other lady's name.
Hi, this is Siran, S-I-R-A-N, and my last name is A-Y-T-A-Y-A-N.
Okay,
I'm from Los Angeles Braille Institute.
She's from the Los Angeles Braille Institute, and we have Mike Marlin, who is from, Mike, introduce yourself, please.
Sure, Mike Marlin from the director for the Northern California Regional Library in Sacramento, which serves the top half of the state.
Do you serve Fresno or Fresno and above?
We have two sub-regional libraries, San Francisco and Fresno, which are part of their respective public library systems. But we do serve Braille and provide other services. So I always say we serve 48 counties, even though Talking Book Service comes from those two sub-regional libraries for that group of patrons.
Okay. So we are here to learn about your libraries and your services. So whoever wants to go first, flip a coin and go for it.
Mike, why don't you go ahead? Since
you want me to go ahead? Sure. Well,
you have enough time.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks, Pam. Thank you for inviting us. And Siran, it's nice to meet you virtually. Hopefully meet you one day in person.
I think we met before, Mike.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
My bad. Well,
that's okay.
It's good to meet you again. I put this down in my notes as a fireside chat, even though I don't have a fire going in my fireplace, but I was envisioning, like, you know, FDR with his fireside chats to the nation during World War II or something. So maybe that's a bit dramatic, but hopefully we don't have to be as formal as that.
I'm not formal. That's my membership. No, I'm not. Don't run formal meetings. Go for it.
Anyhow, so what I thought I would do is just touch on a couple of highlights and then that we're doing. I think that we're talking to the converted here, right? As far as everyone knowing about library service, or do you think it's necessary to give a very brief background about what our libraries are and what we do?
We have some new people in here that are not members, so you might want to give a quick overview. Is that okay, Pam?
Yes, that's fine. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, and Lisa.
I don't recognize, though.
So. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, hello, new council CLUA members, and this is a wonderful organization, and can't say enough good things about it. Anyhow, so National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, it's been around since 1931, so 92 years now, as of March 3rd, turned 92. That was the founding date when the legislation was passed allotting money to the Library of Congress to create this service. As I know that for Lisa, Braille Institute's been around since 1920 and was actually instrumental in the advocacy that went into, based on returning World War I vets, getting the service up, a national service up and running. At the California State Library, we started a Adult Books for the Blind program in 1904. So we've been around for a while too. But this, the nationalizing of the service, which really was a sea change in the way accessible materials get out to people who are blind, low vision, otherwise print disabled, happened in 1931. So we've been around. There's been a lot of things that have happened over the years, changes in formats, changes in eligibility and the audiences that we serve. There's a really good history of NLS on the NLS website, loc.gov/NLS. It's really interesting. I'm not going to go down into the weeds too much, but if you're interested in the history, check it out. And there's a lot of cool things that came out of this program. Like, for example, for some of you old timers, the 33 and a third LP was developed as part of the Library for the Blind program. And that really revolutionized the audiobooks because it allowed more content to be on a side of a record. Initially, they were on 78s, which had less. And so you went through more discs to get through your book. Nowadays, of course, you can download your book onto a mobile app and do it that way, whether you're doing it via Braille and you're using Bluetooth and a Braille e-reader, or whether you're doing audio, what we call in the trade here, talking books. And that's kind of very briefly what we do. We are essentially the public library for the blind and print disabled in California, our libraries, but throughout the nation, there's a regional library, at least one in every state and territory in the union. So we are probably serving close to 300,000 people nationwide nowadays. In California, I know Lisa and I could probably find different numbers, but for now, I think we're at about 40,000. Does that sound about right for all mm-hmm. of us together? Mm-hmm. Which is a very small fraction of people who are eligible for this service. I was looking at the California Health Survey from a few years back, and there were at least 760,000 people blind or low vision in California, and that's not including reading disabilities like dyslexia. So these libraries, unfortunately, are often the best kept secret, and it's often through word of mouth that people learn about this service. Despite our great outreach attempts, and we hope all of you will help spread the word. But our primary focus is talking books, nowadays have navigation inserted into them, which make them far more accessible than public library books, whether they're downloadable through OverDrive or Libby, or I don't even know if anyone does CDs anymore, compact discs. But we're on these digital cartridges, which is the physical medium that we use now, as well as downloadable. So talking books and, of course, Braille books, hard copy, but now as well downloadable, and even Braille on demand, which I can talk about too, which is this great service that NLS just started where people can get their own hard copies mailed directly to them, produced by an NLS contractor. So that's pretty exciting. So books through the mail, through the Free Matter for the Blind postal subsidy, our modus operandi generally has been not so much in-person traffic like your typical public or academic library, just because of our population who uses the service and the Free Matter for the Blind mail subsidy, which makes things easy. And most of our services are done over the phone or by email now. Although there is, I know that Lisa can probably talk about in-person traffic at Braille Institute, which is a big rehabilitation agency. So you have a lot of people walking in the door. And for our library, we do have a reading room with all kinds of nice features like accessible computers, with accessible software, and a children's reading room with tactile and Braille games and stuff like that. But by and large, most of our service is done through the mail or over the phone. So that's kind of our history. Hope I didn't wax too long and poetically on that count. But for people who may not know about us, that's who we are.
Thanks, Mike. This is Lisa, and I'll go, and then I'll pass it to my colleague, Saran. I have been a Braille Institute in Los Angeles for a year, so I still feel quite new. I'm so impressed with this library and with our patrons. I think I came from an academic library. I was at a university library's director for 14 years and had a beautiful collection that I curated, and not a lot of takers. So not a lot of readers. It was interesting to hear you say that with the HumanWare e-reader, that you're reading like never before, which is kind of, for me as a librarian, that is my dream, because I am a librarian because I want to support reading in all its facets. And Braille Library is very much a reader's library, whereas at the university, I was hard pressed to get people to come in and take books off the shelf. And so being at Braille and seeing the absolute interest in receiving books in whatever form has been quite delightful. And so what Mike said about California State Library applies for us as well. As part of the National Library Service, we represent all of Southern California, which we estimate around 400,000 people with who are blind or visually impaired, which is a lot of folks. And currently, our patron numbers are around 19,000, with around 8,000 people who have checked out a book in the last year. There is definitely a dip during COVID, but people are starting to come back. And we are starting to have classes again inside Braille because of COVID, of course. Things happened online, and kind of remarkably online. Braille Institute was able to pivot in various ways, whether it was teaching occupational therapy or orientation and mobility or library services. We met people online, but now we're really hoping that people do come back into the center. And the library just underwent a big campaign. And so we've redone the library and made it more like a public library, where we're hoping that people will come in and take advantage of the discrete spaces. So whether you come in to kind of check out books that are on the shelf and sit and read, we're going to have technology tables, and we're very happy that your own Steve Bauer will be in the library once a week to work with patrons and learning how to use the Victor reader or the Braille e-reader. We're also going to have a recording room where we will start to record books that will go into the collection for the National Library Service, but books that will also be relevant for our patrons. So we're going to emphasize recording books in Spanish, for instance. And we have a children's area and a teens maker space, as well as a teaching area. And again, all those are new, and we're excited about it. And hopefully people will be coming in and using our library. And I think they will. For those who don't know, and as Mike referred, Braille Institute provides a variety of services for folks with low vision or blindness, including life skill classes, art and literature, technology support, occupational therapists, really a robust offering. And the library is part of that. Saran, do you want to add anything?
Yes, hi. Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Saran Itayan, and I am with the Braille Institute more than 25 years. So I started as a part-time working with our reference librarian, and then a full-time as a reader advisor. So like Mike mentioned, our service is mostly on the phones and also mailing system. So I am one of the reader advisors on the phone Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 5, to assist library patrons. Our patrons, they don't come and pick up their books. They don't order to drop their books if they want to return. They just call us. We order their books. It's all mailing system, and it's all paid by government, so they don't need to pay anything. Free service. And as a reader advisor, I have a very close connection with our patrons. Every day I talk with them, every day assist them, and on the phones, sometimes they just, it goes a little bit more than as a book order, we talk, and they just want to ask a question, other things, what's happening with their lives, especially during the pandemic. And we decided how to help our patrons. We cannot stop the service. We need to continue how to do. And the reader services team, few of us, we were using our cell phones, just calling our patrons and just make sure that somehow they will continue the service. And we did. And also, and during this time when we're working at home, and now we kind of just partially we're back, but we started a few programs. We did Library 101, which is online class to any existing or new patrons to teach them what are the services we give our patrons, just train them if they need it. Or we have our monthly book club. Every month, one time, just we have a date, the last Wednesday of the month, and if they're interested, they can come and join us to discuss about the book, what we selected. And also, I am a board administrator. As a board administrator, I assist the library patrons if they have any problems with their account, if they needed to reset a password, or they want to change the email address, or just train them how to find a book. I have an iPhone. I don't know how to use it. So I'm there to help on the phone if needed. Now, soon we will be also have some trainings one-on-one to with the library patrons come visit to the library, and we just have trainings. And just a lot of things happening. And I also want to thank Lisa inviting me. This is my first time. And after so many years being a part of National Library Services. But a lot of new things happening in our library. We are remodeling. There's still a little bit going. We're not finished yet. And it will be looking a beautiful library. I'm so happy that Lisa's working so hard to put everything together. Thank you, Lisa. Sometimes we don't say that, but I just want to say we really appreciate what you're doing. So it will be modern, high tech, and so many things just new in the library. It's a completely different. So we really appreciate, Lisa, what you're doing. And maybe I will just talk a little bit more if they have any questions, but I love my job. When sometimes people say, I love my job, and just they say it, but I really do. I just enjoy talking with the patrons. I just part of, sometimes we just, you know, so much we have many years knowing the patrons, like we know them, they're like a family. I know that person. Oh, even we don't see them, but we're just the voices. As soon as they call, I know this is the patron that I know many years. And so I enjoy it and working at the Braille. And that's the reason I'm there for many years. And again, if anything else you want to add, Lisa, maybe I forgot something, but just thank you again.
That's perfect. Thank you, Saran, and the reader advisors. For those of you, I'm sure, who've spoken with reader advisors over the years, are just so important. And Saran is delightful. And we are, hoping to add more reader advisors, especially now that patrons know that we're back, even though we didn't leave, but because I think Braille Institute really relies on a high touch, so that if people want to speak with someone on the phone, they can. And so the reader advisors really, who you said you spoke with, how many people this, Justin?
Right. Just this month, I had like maybe, I will say it's 260, a little bit more. on the phone assisted. Of course, the book orders and some of the board questions, but that's my number that I just, they reach me and I was able to assist them.
Yeah, this is Mike. I didn't say too much about some of the other facets of Reader's Advisory is definitely a big part of NLS libraries that you don't get in your typical public library, and that is that direct connection to get to make changes to your account, to get advice on books and titles and authors, and ask questions about books you've heard, that sort of thing. So that's great. Speaking of numbers, though, since Saran mentioned it, I don't know if people realize the volume of the volume of service that we provide. So, like, I'm looking at my statistics from last year, and my group of five readers advisors processed like 69,000 phone calls. So, her 250 in a month—that's probably a low number.
No, but, I just would. Today is like 19. I just said up today. It's for the month of March, just 260. I'm sure I will have more.
I'm sure you will. Yeah.
We do. That's only my number. And then other reader advisors also.
Right. Yeah. And I think we're both pretty similar in size now. Now, Braille Institute maybe has some more patrons than we do, but one of the things that we've done recently, and some of you folks who get cartridges in the mail know, is that we've gone to a duplication system or cloud-based cartridges where you can put multiple books on a cartridge. We call it books on demand. I'm not sure what Braille has a name other than duplication, but that's really... Sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I think Saran was just agreeing with
just the same name.
Same name. Okay, yeah. So we're able to get, one of the things that we're really involved in just is the modernization aspect. And Lisa and Saran talked about how they're modernizing their physical facilities. But NLS is, and all of our regional libraries are really changing with the times. It's maybe not as fast since we are, you know, state and federal government, but still it's pretty impressive. And so we have maybe 25% of our readership is using BARD, the Braille and Audio Reading Download. The national average is like 10 to 15%. So I always like to say California, you know, we're always leading the way for the rest of the country. We have this cloud-based books on demand, where we're able to use cartridge towers and miniature computers to do all of our book circulation for audio. We're now with the advent of the e-readers, which we know that there are a lot. For example, I can just talk about Northern California. We have maybe 1,000 people signed up for the Braille medium, but we only have about 250 actual devices out in the field. So we think that word of mouth will bring some of those Braille readers who got frustrated with hard copy Braille through the mail to bring them back to reading Braille. And we really hope so, because Braille is literacy for the blind. And it's extremely important. I'll just mention a couple more things, Lisa, and then flip it back.
Okay, and there's a question, Mike.
Oh, well, we can stop for a question.
From a 405 area code, it looks.
405,
yeah, who is that?
Number ending in 405, I'm sorry, 510 area code ending in 405.
It's Dirk Nyhark from Berkeley, California. I'd like to talk about the economics of it. Do we have more money given in the California budget for library literacy for blind people? That's one. And two, are the librarians helping us getting a living wage?
Librarians provide information. I mean, we are information referral as well as reference. So if people contact us with questions about where to find information, we will do our utmost best to
I'm asking about money. What is the salary of librarians? Do they get the living wage, or do we get a living wage?
Yes,
we
Yeah, I misunderstood you. Okay. Yeah, you know, it really depends. In California, librarians fare fairly well. We work for the state, so we're part of the civil service. It's decent. It's not as high as the public library sector, where they have a more robust tax base. The public librarians make a little bit more. Academic librarians, Lisa, maybe you can talk to that, usually make the least amount of money.
That's right. They make the least, like parochial school teachers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. School teachers usually often make more than academic librarians, yeah.
But all of you require master's degrees, don't you?
Yes, that is correct. The librarian, the master's in library and information science is a requirement for most librarians. Yeah. And it's been a professional classification for since the 1920s or 30s now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I hope it continues to be, because there's some discussion about making sure that everyone has the opportunity to become a librarian, and do we deprofessionalize? Do we not require master degrees? But I think, in rather than do that, we make sure that people get the support to go on and study and get master's degrees to join the profession, instead of deprofessionalizing, which I think is happening a lot. I really appreciate your question. And in part, something that concerns me is in the public schools, K through 12 in California, they are eliminating the school libraries and librarians. So, reading is just, we have computers, so we don't need books or readings or librarians in the same way, which is just not true. So, and that goes, you know, the fewer jobs that we have available, then I think that that puts kind of everything at risk, as you know.
Okay. Another question. The rabid Republicans are trying to take books off their shelves. Is that happening in California?
I think there are some challenges in California. I can't, Mike or Saran, I don't know if anyone comes to mind. I mean, Florida, Iowa.
There have been some individual challenges. There have been challenges in schools and some public libraries in this state. Our service is a little bit different. We're perhaps a little more isolated due to the fact that we have a very narrowly focused user group. We also we certainly have had people, I mean, I certainly fielded calls from people who are upset about something. And, you know, usually the response is that we have a multifarious collection to try to serve everybody's needs. Mm-hmm. We're somewhat limited, although things are getting better now, by the number of books that we're able to produce within the network, and the fact that we have to cater to all kinds of genres. If you're like me, you have multiple interests in most, that's true for most people. But there are, we have certainly had issues at the time. There is a collection development policy that NLS has in place, as well as most of our network libraries have a collection development policy. And we also have a mechanism for people to process inquiries about certain titles. It rarely ever happens in this network.
But we are a public library, essentially. We're part of the National Library Service. And actually, on April 19th, we will have an online discussion of librarians, like some from the NLS, the incoming president of the American Library Association, and they will be talking about this very thing, banned books and the risk to public libraries. So I'll send the information. We would love you all to show
tune
up
in,
and
yeah,
be we in conversation.
We have a banned books bibliography that's that we're probably going to have to spin off into subsections because it's very lengthy. but if you go on our Ravenous Readers page, we have all sorts of genre bibliographies for people who want to dive deep
Thank
into
you.
The topic. Great questions.
Raised by Edward's iPad.
Oh, we have another question.
I have to give you a quick history about my experience with the Library of Congress. I was in ninth grade when I was exposed to that. That was way back in the 60s. But my resource teacher came in when I was in the 11th grade, all excited about this new innovation of this talking book. And there were about four blind guys and two legally blind guys who kind of like, oh my gosh, is this guy behind the time? It was funny because he was not a VI teacher. He was a classroom teacher, and he decided to become a VI teacher. He was just learning as he went, and we were probably teaching him. But my point is, in all those years past today, because I'm a voc rehab counselor, I am going to the schools and I'm getting visually impaired students, blind students, and there's other learning disability students there who could utilize Library of Congress books. But I am finding that these young folks are not encouraged to use Audible books for leisure reading. And it's really irritating. And that's, I'm hoping that both the State Library Services and the Braille Institute can reach out to all the school districts and notify these school districts that these kids need to learn how to read.
So you're saying,
Go ahead.
You're saying they're not being encouraged to use audiobooks? Is that what you said?
What he's saying, they're just not reading, or they're not interested in reading. Is that correct?
Oh. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I was speaking and my wife is yelling.
No, we could hear you. They just wanted to repeat what you said. They could hear you.
Okay. All right. What I'm getting at.
We just were looking for clarification as far as what you meant by not reading.
Well, they're not getting the Audible books. They're given material in large print, or they're encouraged to use the computer. And of course, they're giving the textbooks in Audible format for the classroom. Most of them. But what I'm getting at is a lot of the students aren't learning how to use the Library of Congress for leisure reading. Mm-hmm. They're coming out of high school and they want the Disabled Student Services to put things in large print, and or they don't know that there is a format for getting textbooks in Audible format. They're expecting the Disabled Student Services to do what the high schools are doing. Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting at is that both North and South Library Services need to contact these districts and encourage the students to read. That's the important thing. It doesn't have to be academic. It could be leisure reading. That's what they need. Just learn how to read.
Pleasure reading.
Well, recreational reading is what
It helps them with structure, sentence structure. It helps them with paragraphs. It helps them with words, listening to the words.
Critical thinking.
So many things. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, appreciate if I may, recreational reading, that is what we do. We also do a lot of outreach to the school systems, to school districts. And we certainly talk to TBIs all the time because their students are more likely to need fiction and nonfiction recreational reading, sometimes for class assignments, you know, your classic Steinbeck movie.
All the stuff I had to read when I was in school.
Blanking, Melville, or any of the classics. And then just, there's all kinds of stuff, material that we have. So I hear what you're saying. Our job is to contact the school systems, make them aware. We also send out letters to all these school districts. I don't know what Braille Institute does, probably something similar. Every year to remind them, please sign up. You can either sign up as an institution and borrow books that way what we call a deposit collection or specific titles for your students, or we can have a direct relationship and direct patronage of students. This is a huge challenge. I mean, I'm not going to pretend. we do a lot of outreach and we don't get a lot of return on that outreach for this. You know, I think that there's some, there's politics, there's economics that, that factor in, just to be completely blunt. I don't think it's for lack of trying. To a certain extent, yes, there we can't reach every single classroom in California, but we certainly try our best, and yet we fall short. So, Lisa,
I would say maybe Saran has
right. I just want to just mention that there are some programs we do, some reading programs. We reach mm-hmm. our patrons every year. We do that, and so that now we just a little bit changing the grade level of the summer reading. So it's usually it's from preschool to high school, kindergarten, high school, and now we also having some little bit change for. Of course, this is not for the kids, but if it's just adult summer reading, but we do that, and we just reach the schools. And I myself personally, I work with a lot of teachers, and I have a few that they always email me, and just like we talk, and if this student is in a system, or how can we just create a board account, or how can we just have a training, or we do that, and we do meet the author. For younger readers, we just do a lot of programs to make the kids to read and on different grade levels. So and also we just have soon we will just have our open house, which is after 3 years, and this is on site, and we're planning to invite some of institutions, some schools, maybe some of the teachers that can be able to bring the kids to the Braille Institute to know about us. So I'm sure Lisa has some other programs, plans for the outreach. And yes, we do. How much also the problem is that we don't have a lot of textbooks, but doesn't mean that we don't have other sources. We have a Bookshare, that we have reading sources that we can just give information that, okay, you can have those other sources to be able to get audiobooks or a Braille book, any other, you know, whatever they're interested. But maybe Lisa, you can add a few more things. I'm not sure.
I just so appreciate, Edward, what you're saying, because I too just really value reading. I also think we compete with the internet. I think it's not just that it's that for people to know or for students to know that we exist, but also to kind of get them interested in reading. But people like you, we rely on you to be our ambassador and to be out there, because the truth is that our staff, both in Sacramento and in Los Angeles, we're just small and we don't have many people. And so word of mouth is very important to advocate for our programs and for our libraries. So
this is Pam. As I've been reading since I could hold a book, I have not always been blind, so I was born sighted. And I started reading when I could hold a book, probably about 3 or 4. And to hear that they're trying to get rid of school libraries, mm-hmm. really just hit me in the heart, because mm-hmm. that was one of my favorite places to hide when I was in school, was the school library. So from a little kid, do you guys offer? Are you offering programs for little ones? I know she said kindergartners. Do they actually bring them in and let them pick out books, or you guys will have some type of way for them to pick out books to read? And one of the first books I actually read was a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have a children's section, and we mm-hmm. have tours come through. The thing is, you know, as I said in the very beginning, we for the surrounding, we call it this greater Sacramento geographical area, or whatever you want to call it, but you know, which is basically 5 adjacent counties, but we serve 48 counties. And so big field trips down into Sacramento, that's not something that's a great, it would be a wonderful thing if we could could do that down the road, I think. But for now, we get maybe five school groups a year coming through, and it's always so delightful. Kids are just thrilled to see that there are. They really like the Twin Vision books that have both print and Braille, which we have lots of those. So what about you down in Braille?
Well, we have a youth program, and those have teens, and we have child services from infancy up to 6 years old, and we're working with them. They're going to work with the Center for the Blind. That's right across the street, actually, from us. And they'll bring in Saturday cohorts, and hopefully, again, more kids and families will get involved.
One thing that's important is that reading is not only is it fundamental, it's just literacy. Braille is literacy for people who are blind. And reading, period, is just one way to learn how to understand words and sentences and all that kind of stuff. Fun. It is so much fun to get lost in a book.
Yeah. And I even read something research recently that said fiction is actually really good for memory and like other kinds of reading, because in fiction, there's so many characters and plots and connections that you have to remember. And so along with so many other things, empathy and compassion and connecting us, there is that. It's helpful for memory. I see that we have
three
Christy
hands
and Karen.
Okay,
we have Christy, Karen, followed by Edward's iPad.
Okay, this is Christy first.
Okay, so little story about me. When I was in first grade, I told my teachers that I read at home, and I told my parents that I read at school, and then they got together for the parent-teacher conference. And I got in trouble.
How old were you?
Six. But I'm not a real fast Braille reader. Mm-hmm. I do love Braille. I read things like recipe books. This is why I need my e-reader battery.
That was you earlier. Yeah.
That was me. I felt overwhelmed when I got it, and there's not really any training, and I'm not really good at reading a book and following it and learning it. I need to actually have someone tell me.
Are you one of our patrons or one of
Braille? I'm Braille Institute.
Braille Institute. Okay. Yeah. So they. I know that we have been encouraged by NLS to have people send, if there's a defect, send it back, and we'll just replace.
Oh God, if I can find the case, okay, I will, or the box. Yeah. But anyway,
you can use any old box. Worst case.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I was just go ahead. I just wanted to say, if you are close to LA, Steve Bauer will be on location tutoring. So would
yeah,
be
no, yeah. no. No. I wish, but
just want to mention something, Christy. I guess you're our patron. Mm-hmm. Maybe I spoke with you before. I'm not sure, but what I was saying, there is NLS have a YouTube training. It's a wonderful, like 40 to 45 minutes. And I have your name, and I'm going to look at I can just send you the link.
Okay.
Of course, it's easy, step by step how to connect. This is all e-reader, so I think you will like it. And I watch myself. I'm not a Braille reader, unfortunately, but sometimes I need to, when I have to help a patron, I just need to know a couple of steps, basic steps at least, I can assist. So that particular link that I'm sending you, it will be so helpful, and I will do it. I have your name.
Cool.
So I'm going to look at in the system to get your email address, and also to email you maybe tomorrow if it's okay.
All right. And the thing that I wanted to bring up is that there is an art to listening, and for people, for even little kids, you know, we have to teach people how to listen. It's just like taking that time. You build up the stamina. You build up that time of how I can't just, I fall asleep. Well, of course you fall asleep. I don't when I want to, and I do when I don't want to. You know, it takes practice to learn how to listen. It takes practice and building up the time to learn how to stay focused and concentrating on whether you're listening or reading Braille. And I'm wondering if teaching people how to do that or actually even talking about it. When I was a social worker at a state hospital, I taught my blind patrons, my blind patients, how to listen in order to get the best out of their audio listening, as well as I taught them how to read Braille. So that's all I want to say is that it doesn't come naturally. We have to learn how to do it.
I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure Saran and Mike feel this too, but I would love to talk with you further about this. It's Christy, if you're
a great program.
Sure.
Lisa.
Yeah.
We could do an online webinar or something.
I love it.
Yeah.
And especially all the more, especially with the internet, just our attention is just, you know, it's not what it used to be. So thank you, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, and just real quickly on the Braille e-readers, I think what Saran is sending you is helpful, but if there is actually a physical defect or battery or charging problem, then we have had some of them had to be sent back. It's just kind of the way things. There's always a small percentage of, especially with technology.
Yeah, it says it's completely charged, and when I unplug it, does nothing.
Dead, yeah, we've actually seen that one before, believe it or not. It does happen. So that's why we have extras.
Who is
Karen
next?
Karen.
Hi, it's Karen Schrader.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, hey, Mike. So I just wanted to, two things. One was the Braille Institute. I love what you guys are doing, how you're doing the renovations and hoping to have people come in and actually work in there and play there. That's awesome. And I was wondering, are you doing that only with the LA campus, or are you also doing it with San Diego or any of the other ones?
Were you familiar with the other camp? Like San Diego used to be real big, and now they've moved into a smaller space. So
yeah.
Yes, but with a smaller space. So we have Melissa Rodriguez there who does library services. She really wants people to come in.
Good.
And the same with Santa Barbara. And then we have Elena Garcia, and in Anaheim we have Yancy Munoz, and so nice. All three of those would love to see people come in and do library services in different ways. And our others, Coachella Riverside and Laguna Hills, are even smaller, and there's not
room for that, huh? Okay, well, thank you. That was my question. And I forgot the other one.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
Hey, Edward is next.
I'm next. I want to thank you for saving the Anaheim Library, because it was going to be closed, but you remodeled it. And unfortunately, it's smaller because of the codes and parking. I know that was a problem in the very beginning. I was wondering if you're sending literature to Cal State LA, the VI program there, and Cal State San Francisco, the VI program there, and really give them literature on the Library of Congress books and tell them that, these are new teachers coming in to teach blind, visual impaired individuals. And this is a good resource to teach young students coming in to be in that field. But I'm wondering if you're able to have a table at AER and the LVH group. I can't remember what the title of that is, but AER is another resource, because these are the teachers going for their CEUs, and they have to be educated about Braille Institute and library services throughout the state. That's my comment. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Edward.
I can talk real quickly to the San Francisco State TVI program that we present to them every semester, talk to all the new students, to talk about our service. We'll probably start going over there once they're back meeting in person. That's something we've been doing for many years. So hopefully that makes a dent with those, you know, new aspiring teachers. As far as AER, I'm not even sure, what does that stand for?
Karen Schroeder, help me out maybe.
the Association of
Education
and Rehabilitation.
Yeah,
Education
and
Rehabilitation.
Okay.
So it's AER and CTEVH.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we've been to that conference many times. Yeah. And I think we have a pretty good relationship, both of our libraries, and all four of our libraries, if you count the sub-regionals, with the Braille education infrastructure. I think it's everywhere else where we need help getting the word out to. Not to say that your perception, Edward,
people with dyslexia. My in-home support person is dyslexic. And she said when she was in school, she would have really benefited from a program like Braille or I finally got her hooked up with Bard, because she didn't realize that she actually could get books through Bard. And they told her she could, because she is print impaired. And do they let students know who are dyslexic? Do you guys let students know who are dyslexic that or have print disabilities? Because there are so many that I know of through her who didn't know that they could go through they could borrow books through Braille or something like that.
That's a great question, Pam. Yeah, Lisa can comment on this too, but we're redoubling our efforts, especially since about a year and a half ago, we made certification of reading disabilities a whole lot easier, where it was not only a medical doctor that could certify. And with that, we've been redoubling our efforts, reaching out to the Dyslexic Association of America and all of its chapters. We've been talking to the schools. We've been talking to the corrections division, where there are a lot of people with that type of reading disability that are incarcerated. There are other associations that we've been reaching out to. It's a huge population. I kind of have joked with my staff, if only we could serve the 10 million people who need that service, probably in California, we'd either be out of business through the crushing weight of patronage, or we'd be able to triple our staff, one or the other. So,
just the same. I think that the need for it's great. Our staff is small, and I think one answer is just to I know there are a lot of people who would be interested in volunteering and being kind of our spokespeople out in communities. And that's the next thing. We are looking for an outreach manager. Our outreach has been a bit on hold, but we will have someone soon. We do some outreach, but this area, like Mike said, it's so vast. It's such a large number of people. It's a bit overwhelming.
And there are a lot of different print disabilities out there. Also.
A lot.
Have been, as of last year, we started going and presenting at the Special Education Conference, which is part of the California Educators. What is it? It's a partner of the School Library Association. So we went and we talked to a lot of them had heard of us before, but they didn't know the details of how our service worked. So that was very useful. Mm-hmm. And so we will continue that. But I think the idea of having ambassadors which is something that we're gearing up to do in the next few years, is also really helpful as well. I agree.
I have a hand raised, Steve Bauer.
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I am so sorry. I thought I was unmuted. Great presentation. And I got to give a personal shout out to Saran and the team. I got my brand new Victor Reader stream three o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. And I'm like, okay, it'll be Monday before I can do anything.
No, it won't be.
Yeah. And less than an hour. I couldn't believe it.
You know me. I always try to do my best.
I appreciate that. I really do. My question is, and I've just thought of this in the last few days, with going back to the e-reader, there's folks out there that, may not have access to Wi-Fi. Do you, either of you in Sacramento or LA, have any ideas of providing books on cards or cartridges or whatever to folks that can't?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Lots of ideas. Okay. You want to go first, Lisa?
Just downloading the digital braille onto the cartridge and sending.
For folks that don't have Wi-Fi, they can plug it in their e-reader. Yeah.
Yeah, we're quite excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've had a lot of circs of circulation. That's short for circulation in the field. But we've had many circs of braille on cartridge out to people with braille e-readers. So yeah.
And here, I thought I had an original idea. Okay, well, that's great. I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Yeah, no, that's a great, great question. Speaking of that, of wireless connectivity, Lisa, I'll just mention the service that we're both embarked upon, and I guess Steve must be a recipient if he just got his VRS the other day. And that is that we, through a very generous the California State Legislature and Department of Finance, approved a pilot program for both Braille Institute and Braille and Talking Book Library for assistive technology. And so both of us are loaning Victor Stream Generation 2 devices. I think we're both loaning magnifiers as well, handheld magnifiers, all the different types. And we are at BTBL are circulating hotspots as well. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to bridge the digital divide for our people who are not connected, and we will help them, or we will ourselves pair the VRS with a hotspot. It got off to a slow start, but now it's going like gangbusters, and we've got hundreds of these, all three of these out in the field with more to come. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, in Braille Institute, we have Ruby Magnifier, and we got a small number of them, 300, and our occupational therapists, for the most part, are handing them out to people with low vision who they think need. I don't know how they're making the decision. I know one factor is financial need, but otherwise, people who are interested in receiving the Ruby. And the Victor Reader is through the library. We have 1,000 Victors, and we have sent out about 500 so far. And when I spoke with the California Council of the Blind Los Angeles chapter with Guillermo and Steve, I think that's what I heard, is kind of this concern is that we send out, or whether it's Braille Institute or the State Library or the National Library Service, that people will receive devices but not necessarily support in using those devices. And I think that's part of why Steve will be volunteering with us. Mm-hmm. But I know that's a bit of a problem, right, that I'm sure that many of you could speak to, kind of having these things but not necessarily the support and how to use them. I know for the e-reader...
Yeah, BTBL has been, we were able to get some, have a contract, and we have had classes for both the magnifier and the VRS every month. So we've been about 10 people at a time. And so we've trained a whole bunch of people. Plus, we put out a bunch of instructional materials like Braille Institute has as well, both audio, video, BRF, Word docs. I know that some people need to learn by doing, so instruction isn't for everyone.
Maybe that's part, because we have Connection Point at Braille Institute. That is the technology training. So, but even with that, it still seems that that people need more.
One of my favorite toys is the Victor Stream, and as soon as it gets in my hand, I was like, okay, this friend does this and this and this and this and this. Now the e-reader is going to be the one that I'm going to go fuss about. But yeah. The Victor Stream for me was like, oh, this is fun.
It's really interesting.
Book on it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Pam.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's really interesting. I was having a conversation with a patron who was telling me about, well, he went ahead and used audible.com because he thought it was a lot easier than using Bard. And so we had a really interesting conversation, and you know, I could, in some ways I could see what he was saying, but of course my feeling was, well, we have navigation, we have $0.
Bard is easier than Audible, and I use both, and I know.
Yeah, and yeah. Some people use
Bard
both. But some people both. Some people said, you know, I've tried Bard, it's too hard, there's too much information, too many choices. That was a real ear opener for me, because, you know, being a technically savvy user, because I've been doing it for a long time, that's really the only reason. It doesn't seem that complicated to me, but like Lisa said, there is every level of patron out there.
Everybody learns differently, though, too. I think. I think everybody learns how to use technology or whatever format they use to read differently. And I know that when it comes to the e-reader, I'm going to have call Steve and wine, okay? But when it comes to the Victor Stream, it's like, here, Steve, I'll show you how to do that. So it's interesting, and it's very interesting how everybody learns how to use each piece of equipment differently.
Bless you. So that's the reason we're trying to have a lot of trainings as much as we can on the phone, on the site. And so like I said, this is Saran again as a Bard administrator. I have a few trainings with the same person, no problem. I'll do that with my patients necessary. Continue on just what we're doing. We just need to have more trainings. And Bard is, yes, sometimes it can be a little bit hard, but once you know what you're doing, it's easy.
This is Nellie Emerson. I just have a comment I wanted to share. Thank you for being on this program today. This is really great to be able to have this conversation and to be able to have more understanding about the availability of services and how we can work together. But I just want to say that I attend classes at the Santa Barbara Braille. Mm-hmm. And so when I received my e-reader, I had one-on-one training with Skylar here. And that was very helpful. I do need a review, but he makes himself available to help. But I'm fairly good at technology, so I can see where some other individuals that want to read, they might need more hours of training. Mm-hmm. and more frequent sessions to make sure that they're still understanding and able to really utilize the device. And as far as reading, I am a very avid reader. I use Bard on my Victor Reader Trek. I do Audible. I do Bookshare, and I belong to the local. I use Hoopla on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, it's like books from wherever they can come. Bring it on.
Hey, Nellie, were you part of the Braille e-reader book club class that Skylar and Elena did?
No, I wasn't. I had a conflict on that day, and so I wasn't able to be on that class. And that sure would have been great if I could have done that.
I think so. The idea was to get kind of rusty or reluctant Braille readers to join. If you join a book club and you talk about a book together, then it will be kind of the pleasurable way to learn. But it didn't work out well because there were just people at too many different levels.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Yeah. And so that's okay. I think we learn from it, and then maybe thinking of doing it in different levels or something like that. It was.
Sure. Well, I'll be glad to participate whenever it happens. Thank
Bill, do we have
you.
any hands up?
Yes, we have a hand raised. Connie Bateman.
Connie.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So I'm a BTBL patron, and I, like Pam, I got a Braille e-reader so that I could keep my Braille reading skills sharp because I didn't learn Braille until I was an adult. And I had some trouble hooking up to Wi-Fi at first, so I called the tech person who helps to troubleshoot. I think it's Julie. And what I found out, here's a tip in case people don't know this. Make sure your device starts out in uncontracted Braille. You have to go into settings, and because it's the default is contracted Braille, so you have to make sure it's uncontracted. And then you type in your information, your NMS password and all that credential stuff. And then once you're in, then you can put it back on contracted Braille and you're good to go. I was so excited when I finally hooked up to Wi-Fi that I think I downloaded about 18 or 20 books that day. And it's really easy too. Once you're in, if you go to online services, NLS is at the top of the list, and you can either browse by categories or search. And if you want a book, it just asks you download, and you just select download, and then it downloads, and then it's done. It's a beautiful thing.
Don't forget the magazines also. There's some Braille magazines.
Yes, I downloaded some of those
We
too.
have to remember, books are
Oh,
good.
absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, folks, for all you do.
Great to hear from you, Connie.
Thanks, Mike.
One of the other things that Braille and Talking Book Library does is we have our own recording studio, and we've been scrambling to add lots of new titles that have to do with California, our Californiana collection. And if in our forthcoming newsletter, we're going to list a whole bunch of new books that we've uploaded to Bard. So I'm very proud of our studio team, despite not having any volunteers during the pandemic. But they're coming back soon, and then we'll be adding. I think we just added 122 new titles to Bard over the past year and a half.
Whoa!
I was trying to find my list of those titles, but I don't know if I'll find it in time. But stay tuned for those of you who get our newsletter.
Can I just ask quickly? So they're is it California themed or California writer? What's your
Right. Authors, topics, anything to do with California, about California, or by California authors that are
Correct.
not
We call
not
that
predicted.
California Collection.
We call it Californiana, but anything, and it's generally things that are not being done by NLS. Oh, and I should say that one of the really nice things, for those of you probably noticed the huge increase in audiobook production from NLS over the last decade. And that's due in large part to donations by commercial publishers, free donations to NLS that then they get processed into a talking book format. And we've been able to piggyback on some of that for California themed books. We identified some that we thought would be great for our collection that NLS wouldn't necessarily collect, and that were available, and NLS went out and purchased them for us, which was really awesome. So some of those new titles I'm talking about are ones that NLS bought the commercial audio version for us. Like, I think there's one called To the Stars, which is the autobiography of George Takei, Sulu on Star Trek. So
yeah, it was a good book, actually.
Yeah. Well, you've read that one, okay.
Yes, I have. I love George Cade.
Yeah. Oh, and there's lots of other cool ones out there.
I love George Cade.
And we're also trying, this is another interesting topic in probably maybe more interesting for me and Lisa, but probably all of you. And that is just the trying to correct some of the implicit bias in collecting and the history. NLS has been looking into this to try to correct historically, I don't want to use the word inappropriate, so I'm not sure what the right word is, but books that were, say, by about African-American topics, this is just an example, that were narrated by white folks. And this is kind of happening now. And so we've been trying to go back and look at, for our collecting purposes, having more equity and diversity in our collections. I know NLS is doing that. I'm sure Braille will
be doing
that. I heard
about that, and I appreciate it. Yeah, as an African-American person, reading a book read by a... It's been interesting.
The narrators that are available are the ones that are available, and you go with what you can, and they do a great job. But we're trying to do that now with our Native American history. We're trying to get books from an indigenous history perspective, as opposed to the settler perspective about Native Americans. And that's really, I'd be interested to see if people see that as you're reading along the lines of,
as a
for women's
who love history, it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, for women and for women's history too.
Yes, I appreciate
and current topics. The collection, the direction of the collection and the services, I think we're trying to do better. So I'm hopefully things will continue in that direction.
Mike, that's great. And as we finish our recording room in about 2 weeks and we start to record again, I'll definitely be interested in speaking with you all. And
I'm excited that you're going to be doing Spanish titles. That's just thrills. That's thrilling. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. Yep.
Bill, I've got hands.
No hands at the moment.
And that just copyright doesn't apply is just thrilling to.
Yeah. thank you, Senator John Chafee. Who in 1996 got the Chafee Amendment to the Copyright Act, so that we don't have to ask every single title's publisher permission to make an accessible copy of their book.
It's radical. It's radically wonderful.
Yeah. Any other questions you guys have? I mean,
may I just mention something, Liz?
Yeah.
This is Saran. I just want to give an update about the NLS catalog. And some of you probably do search sometimes, go to NLS website. It is going to have a new look, and they're working on it. And I attended one of those trainings, and a lot of new features will be, and easy, because we know sometimes it's hard to look at the NLS catalog. And so one of the new features, which I like it, there's ask the librarian, just directly click on it and just any question you have it about the book or any others, anything you're interested, you will just be able to email. And also sometimes we have some patrons saying, I have an ISBA number of the book. Do you have it? So we didn't have a chance, but now in the new catalog, we will be able to even search with an ISBN number. And other thing, I just want to mention also, quickly, just when you look on the NLS website to search it, you directly connect it to the BARD. So if the book is available for download, which is all of them mostly available, directly you can just click on it, connect to BARD, to your BARD account, and just sometime you have to sign in. And just download a book. So new look for NLS catalog and more detail. You have just a word that you're interested, you want to know about something, just put in a quick search, you just put the keyword and it will just give you display all the the search result, the books that are available on audiobooks or Braille books. So it's exciting. There are a couple of more training sessions. They're working on it, but soon, I don't know exactly when, but soon we will have a new look for the NLS catalog.
Yeah, that's great. So, thanks for mentioning. Also, the new for folks who are using Bard Mobile, there's a new search strategy on the Bard Mobile app. So you've probably noticed
for
it.
For iPhone users, yes.
Right, for iPhone, for iOS. You, yeah.
Yes, if you're an Android user, it's a still
it's coming. Coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. I absolutely refuse to use my phone to read, but I have seen, I have checked it out on the iPhone. It is, I do have the app, but.
Well, the way it used to be in Bard Mobile 1.0 and 1.1 was that they used a mimicking of the Bard website in a miniature on your phone, and it was very complicated. Mm-hmm. And now it's more like, if you're familiar with Bookshare, it's more of a search field where you can facet by author, by title, or by keyword, and your results are less overwhelming that you get back if they're more accurate. So it's a powerful new search engine that NLS is using. So I just thought I'd mention it since Sharon was talking about the new
catalog. I use it on my computer,
catalog.
And I find it easier. It used to be a little bit more cumbersome on the computer, and it's a lot easier on the computer than it used to be. The NLS website and Bard is a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah, they're always making improvements under the hood.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
We have five hands up now, Pam.
Oh, all of a sudden, shut up. Okay, let's go in order.
Okay, in order. First is Christy.
Okay.
I should get in there first again. Okay.
I know, So, couple of things. The thing that I need in the book description, when you press 5 and hold it down on the Victor, and I don't know, that's basically how I get my books right now. So I need the copyright date.
Oh.
I don't like waiting until I download the whole book and find out that the copyright is too old for what I need.
Oh,
So I really need.
We should talk to HumanWare about that. See,
yep.
If there's any way they can, because that has to do with the MARC record, which is a machine automation readable catalog. Was it MARC?
Yeah. So I really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
I really
upfront.
on that, you know, description, book description. I really need that. And secondly, when I press for new books, there's like thousands of new books, and I want to just know what are the new books in the last week, or what are the new books in the last month, or what are the new books in the romance section?
Okay.
Or, you know?
Yeah. So first of all, I think that HumanWare's API interface between Bard and the Victor or the Trek, whatnot, is reverse chronological order, if I'm not mistaken. So you're going to get the newest books that came out yesterday or today, and then you can scroll back. As far as being able to do a more sophisticated search like you're talking about, you would need to go through to subjects, go to romances. But the search capability on the Victor Stream, it's not really built to be a powerful search tool.
Yeah.
It's really meant to be a handheld audio player.
A quick one, yeah.
So not to say that couldn't be done, but it might mean the price doubles, you know.
We don't need it to go
research
through
would have to go into that.
No.
Hey, our next hand is Nelly.
Question though.
I have a question about is there a way on the Bard, when you go on their website, to be able to get a list of books that you previously downloaded?
Oh, yeah. There's a link for previous downloads that you can go to. And you can also sort it by a couple of different author and title and or chronology.
Yeah, I'm interested in chronology. I like to keep track of what books I've read.
In the order that you downloaded them is
at the beginning
about.
Of the year, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, you can just page down a few times till you get down to January of 22 if you're a voracious downloader.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so that's great.
That's been the feature's been there for many years.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I don't use the online website because I mainly download my books to my Victor Reader Trek. So I.
Yeah, you can't do it there, but you can on the mobile app. Both mobile apps, both Android and iOS, or even Kindle.
I'll just go on the computer and do it that way. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank
it's
you.
It's doable. I do it on the computer.
I'm glad that feature is available.
Our next hand is Anthony Signorello.
I have an issue with Bard.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi.
It's Ron.
thank you for this presentation. It really is great. My issue with Bard is it seems to me that there are a few times when it says a book is available for download, but when I try to download it, it just, you know, it doesn't completely download for some reason. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's, you know, the internet connection, because sometimes I do have trouble with internet connection, but I'll go to another book and it's fine and it downloads. There were like two particular books. I'm trying to think of the one that I've seen recently that I have tried a number of times to download this book and it just will not download for me. And I don't get why that's going on. Are you familiar with that happening with others?
Well, what the problem is can be a few things. The very recent added book in a Bard can be also in the process of recording. So if it's a new book and it's in the process of recording, probably that's one of the reasons it's not doing complete download. And sometimes if it's very old book, the file has a glitches. So that can be also internet connection. And Anthony, I know you're using Bard Express or you're using something else now. I'm not sure. I think I helped you a few times.
On the computer, I use
Bard Express. And those are my, what I'm thinking. Those can be the problems. Maybe Mike has different.
No, that I was going to say, there are books that glitch out. And sometimes we have to inform NLS and then they re-upload them to the system. That does happen. Sometimes it is insufficient transfer speeds for sometimes with people's Wi-Fi. That's happens. That used to happen a lot 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Much less now. I think that Wi-Fi has gotten a lot better.
Right.
Yeah. But that does happen. The best thing to do is just let your reader advisor know. Quick email to NLS, and usually within a day or two, it's repaired and back up for download.
Okay. Well, like I said, there were like three books that I've had that issue with, and each time I go in and try and download them, it just doesn't work.
There's one other circumstance that sometimes when they're working on the site and they do maintenance, and they tell you, you know, we have 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and then after that 7 a.m., everything's supposed to be okay again. Sometimes people have trouble downloading and the books are not cooperating. And it's because there's something in the cloud-based server that some little switch that didn't get flipped or something. And so that does happen more often than we'd like.
And also you have to remember, do not download more than 100 titles, Anthony. I know you're not, but that it happens. We have patrons.
Yeah, within 30 days, right?
Yes.
30 days.
I do that.
It give you problem. It won't download it.
No, I generally, if I'm going to download, it's not more than a couple. All right. Well, thank you for your answer. I appreciate it. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, our next hand is Karen.
Okay, Karen, go ahead and unmute.
Hi. It's Karen Trotter again. I just wanted to make sure that we highlight one of my favorite things, which is the Braille on Demand. I love that.
You can get up to 5 books a month now.
I saw that email. Believe me, it's in my favorites.
Remember to fill out a single form for each book, though. You can't put all five on the same form. In the beginning,
I'm running out of bookshelves, but I keep going.
You're going to bankrupt us, Karen. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, everybody needs to know that you can do that, and it's really good for cookbooks and things that you're going to reuse. You know, e-readers are great, but e-readers and cookbooks don't get along as well. So
no, you don't want to spill like sauce all over your e-reader. It's true.
Any more hands, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Our next hand is Diane Harms.
Hi, everybody. Great presentation. I have books all over the place. I have books on my e-reader. I have books on my new Victor Reader Stream 3. And I went to my previous downloads when I got my Victor Reader Stream 3, and I downloaded 100 that were previously downloaded. And then I downloaded a few more. So now I have over 100, probably about 110 or so on that already. And then I have books on my iPhone with Bard Mobile. So anywhere I want to listen to a book or read, I can do that. So I read on my e-reader, and I just love it. I ordered it on a Thursday, and she said, well, you know, it might take 2 or 3 weeks to get it. But it didn't. It took 2 days. It came in 2 days. I got it set up right away, Wi-Fi and everything. So, yeah, it's a great thing too. I like it. It's really neat. So that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Great to hear positive feedback.
Yeah, e-readers it's really neat. It's mine's working really well and haven't had any problems with it. So yeah, it's a great thing.
Okay, our next hand is Patty.
Hi, this is a wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask, do you have a way of knowing how many people use Bard Express? Because if you download books from the computer, it's really easy, and you can keep track of your books very simply that way and download them very easily too. I wanted to know if all the patrons know about it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we do know. When I say for us, it's like maybe 15% of Bard are using Bard Express. So we'd love it if more people were, especially because it's so easy with the people who have a PC. But as far as getting the word out, that's the other side of it, and it would be nice if we do. I mean, we talk every time we do an outreach talk, we talk about the different options that are available. Some people just come across it as they're looking at their Bard screens on their computers and they notice it. I don't know, what percentage do you think in SoCal people are using Bard Express?
Lisa, do you have any numbers? I don't, but mostly our patrons, yes, they use it, but not a lot, maybe. And it's not that they use their iPhones, Androids, iPad.
Did you have a tutorial? Because I gave a class on it, not one person wanted to use it after I
told them about it. It's so easy to use.
I was training someone, actually someone who called me and for her husband, and she didn't know about Bard Express. And she, as you know, Bard Express working with the Windows and not Mac computer. If you have a Mac computer, it's a problem. I said, no, don't use that, because unzip the files, extract the files. We don't do that anymore. That's gone. So I was able to help her to install the program on her computer. So she was so happy and really. But the numbers, I'm not sure exactly. And how many of our patrons, I will say more if they use Bard Mobile app.
Yeah, I think Bard Mobile really revolutionized things. I mean, we had maybe several hundred users until Bard Mobile came, and now we're in the thousands. So it really has changed things.
Thank you.
Okay, Phil. I have a question. Even though my hand's not raised. There was a rumor going around a few months ago that we would be able to someday be able to listen to books on our computer itself.
Oh, yeah. And
I assume that would probably be through Bard Express. If that ever happened, I would definitely start using Bard Express.
That is slated for, I think, the release after next. Right, there's going to be
Install Bard Express. I don't have.
There's going to be a new version of Bard Express. I can't remember which we're on now. That's coming out. We're actually doing the beta testing right now. We found a bunch of issues, so we're trying to get all those troubleshooting done. So I'm hoping that by the middle of the year we'll have the new Bard Express, and then there are plans for a reader within Bard Express for listening on the computer. It has to be within Bard Express for legal reasons. You know, it has to be not something that can get out onto the rest of your computer. Not that somebody might not figure out how to do that, because you guys are resourceful out there. But so that is coming. Yes, as well as things like smart speakers and streaming, and the next generation of the talking book player, which is going to have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi capabilities.
Really? So, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of exciting developments
all the time
coming down the pike from NLS. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
DA too.
Thank you.
Good question, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, no hands at the moment.
Okay, another way to read. And we have any questions? Anybody have a question?
Oh, there's Christy with a question.
Oh, Christy now. Another one? God, go for it.
Trying to figure out mute, unmute. That is the question. So what about people who, I know a couple of people who would like to get their books on Bard, or, you know, they've either written the books or they would like to have a certain book on Bard.
Authors of books that are self-published, like, primarily?
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. Self-published. Mm-hmm. Blind author,
right.
One, and the other one is that we were doing in a program, and we've been trying to get this book with its workbook on accessible format,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't been able to do that, and so we would like to.
Right.
Without all of the red tape, because we weren't able to get to the, there's a suit now, so they better do something. But, you know, if we sent you guys the copy, you can't just record it, right? So.
So, Lisa, do you want me to try to? I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking, so I don't want to step on your toes.
We can't hear you, Lisa.
Yeah. We lost her.
No, she's here.
We have lost.
Well, until Lisa chimes in. There's a couple of, I'm hearing a couple different questions. One,
right.
First I'm hearing, what does a self-published author do, particularly someone who's blind, who's written a book about the blindness experience, or not mm-hmm. necessarily that, anything else.
Right.
So Braille and Talking Book Library in Northern California Regional has an audio, has a narration studio. We do produce books. We do have policies governing submission guidelines, including self-published. We do with self-published items where it's often difficult to obtain reviews from recognizable review publications, we will often ask the person to submit a print copy of their book or review copy, and then our librarians will take a look at it. If it's well written and it's relevant to our collection, then we may very much decide to put it into the queue for our studio teams to select and record one of those books. And we There, we have done a couple of those. Every case has to be reviewed because, you know, there, if self-publish is a tricky business. Mm-hmm. So NLS also does a lot of books about blindness, mm-hmm. by blind authors. And sometimes if we like right now, we have fewer narrators because of, we lost a lot of them during the pandemic,
right?
When our volunteer opportunities went away. So we might submit them to NLS and say, we looked at this. This is a really good publication. Maybe you guys can do it. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. If it's a California author being a self-published person, or the topic is California or disability, mm-hmm. we definitely try to prioritize it as much as possible. But we also don't want to shirk the people who have been waiting in line to get their books done as well. Mm-hmm. So those are some considerations. And then when it comes to the whole workbook concept, I'm not sure. The only thing I can say about that is I know that NLS's studio is working on innovative approaches to things like graphic novels and doing tactile maps that go with audio and braille books, as well as doing some descriptions for certain types of books as well. And that's kind of all being sifted and juggled in their creative juices flow of what's going to, the studio is going to be able to do down the road. So something like a workbook may be something that's considered if it's not an academic workbook, if it's something that goes along with like a popular fiction item, for example.
Oh, no, it's a healthy lifestyle book.
Right. There you go.
With the workbook.
Sure. Yeah. So it has to do with nutrition and healthy mm-hmm. lifestyle and all that.
Yeah.
So that very much isn't within our bailiwick. There's no reason why if it's something that can be narrated, great. If it's something that can be embossed, that's not something that we do. We just don't have the staffing to do braille production, but there are other libraries out there. And of course there's NLS too. So I would say just communicate with your library, tell them what's going on. I get inquiries from authors all the time. So happy to talk. And if you're a patron of Braille Institute, I would talk with them first. Yeah. And then if they're unable, then, you know, come knocking at our door.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
So
that's something we're looking into too. We get a lot of requests already without the recording room. So, and it's also possible there's the books that go into the NLS, which has which is a stricter, some more guidelines, but there can be the local collection that's mm-hmm. for Braille Institute, and perhaps that allows more leeway in terms of recording books, and that doesn't have to have NLS approval. So again, I'm new to this recording, and Mike, you know more, but I'm also wondering, we have our talking book, TRP, telephone reader.
Oh, program. Yeah.
And so in the telephone reader program, I think it allows us also more ability to record smaller projects quicker, and that's volunteer based, so it might not be the same quality, but it will but it can get done. So that's an option as well for people with self-published or maybe material that's for a certain purpose.
There's also for things that are not necessarily narration centered, there's the NFB Newsline California channel, where we will put handbooks and other types of newsworthy or instructional materials. Probably not this particular project. It sounds like this is more of a recreational reading, but that's another option, as well as what Lisa's talked about, the telephonic reader program, where you have volunteers reading magazines, and mm-hmm. I should let you tell folks about it. Mm-hmm.
The telephone reader program.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's called telephonic. It's telephonic. More computer based nowadays, but yeah. It still has that.
And it used to be a joint project, I think. And now really does it, but people call in for maybe a menu or an article or movies.
Grocery ads.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. I missed it. Are they newsletters, grocery ads?
Newsletters.
The Sacramento News and Review, for example, you know, your weekly arts publication, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. So okay. It's possible that something like this could work there as well.
Thank you.
Okay, no questions. So I have a question, if I may.
Yes.
At our last meeting earlier today, the president of the LUA affiliate, the National Library Users of America, mentioned that at the upcoming convention in July, they're going to have a presentation on AI narrated reading.
Mm-hmm.
Is NLS doing anything along that line or have any?
Yes and no. We use, like, not to the extent of like Bookshare, but we use an AI program to do, like, if we're doing analog to digital recordings where we don't have the same narrator there to do an introduction or an annotation, read an annotation, we use the text-to-speech generator. It's like the one that we use is called Speechello. So, and there are lots of them out there on the market. NLS is, what they're planning to do is incorporate text-to-speech component into the next Talking Book Player so that they can have, you know, it's probably going to be limited in terms of there's probably going to be a male and a female voice and probably not too much else than that, but at least you'll be able to get NLS will probably branch out into doing some of that government reports or things that you don't necessarily want to have a narrator spend their time narrating, but where you can, it's equally important to have access to. So that's where I would think NLS would dip their toe into the AI text-to-speech market.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I want to remind, I know Saran mentioned it earlier, but we are having our open house on April 26th from 10 to 2 in Los Angeles. We'd love to see any of you who can come. And then... For the month of April, we have a lot of different programming, including astronomers on April 5th. Nick Bowen, who is an Australian blind astronomer, will be zooming in. And then we'll have someone named Thomas Madura, who's at San Jose State University and teaches access to astronomy for blind and visually impaired folks. And he'll be in person in LA. And Leona Godin as well, who wrote the book Their Plant Eyes, Personal Cultural History of Blindness, will be at the LA Library on the 12th from 1 to 2:30, and she'll be in conversation with Maggie Nelson about her book. Both of these will be streaming as well. So if you can't make it in, you can...
They'll be recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because I want to hear that.
Yeah,
I want to hear the astronomy and the astronomer. I love astronomy. Well, one day we'll be out there. I hope. My mother says we shouldn't go, but one day we should.
And any of you who in our service area who would like to come and have a tour of our library, just reach out to me. I see that there's no chat function, so I can't put my email in there.
But I know, Pam, I kept looking for it
too. Pam's got my email if anyone needs it.
I have both your emails, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just, you know, the person who was curious about how you get items recorded in a local studio, or any of you have any questions about any aspect of the library, feel free to reach out to me anytime, please.
Same here, please. It's a pleasure. And there was one tricky case with the e-reader where it would just lose the reader's place, and I ended up emailing Tamara Rory. So, you know, happy to answer questions. And if I can't, find someone who can.
Yeah. That's one cool thing we have. the NLS staff are really quite amazing resource that we have. If we don't know, there's probably somebody out there who does.
Yeah.
But we'll get the answer.
As president of Kahlua, I want to thank both of you and all three of you for participating tonight. And I will see Mike and Lisa at the convention. I will be there.
You're going to get us more information as it gets closer, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I will.
Excellent. Yes, I figured that as much.
Yes. But I will see both of you there. And the one thing I want to say as President of Kahlua and a person who's been reading since I can hold a book, thank you. I appreciate librarians. I appreciate libraries. I think the job is an awesome job. And if I wanted to sit still and do a master's, I probably would have been a librarian a long time ago. But no.
It's never too late, like Pam.
Right on.
Pam likes it. I love the medical field. I loved it. but I just wanted to say thank you. And I truly appreciate what you guys do, keeping us informed and making sure between BARD and NLS and you guys and Braille and Mike and all of you, making sure that, and all of us out here who read, thank you. Because without us reading, and you guys wouldn't know. And, you know, it is, reading is fundamental. That's such an old statement, but it's so true.
That's such true. Yeah.
Yep.
It's so old, but it is so true. They were saying that when I was a kid, and I'm old. thank you. And if anybody else has any questions or anything, one last minute things to say, go for it. How much time do we have left, Phil?
Seven minutes.
And if I could just, this is Lisa, just quickly say that the topic of banned books and what was brought up earlier, if you're not a member of your public library, become one, you know, just protect the right of that people have.
I have to tell you guys a story. I was talking to some friends.
You do have a hand, Pam.
Okay, let me say this. We were talking about banned books, and I said, don't make me walk across this country with my guide dog and just walk to D.C. and raise all kinds of hell about people banning books.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's mostly at the local level where these fights happen.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Who's got their hand raised?
Anthony has his hand.
Hi, Anthony.
Oh, he left the meeting. Okay, well. Okay, well, now we no longer have a hand raised.
He couldn't get it up fast enough either. Sometimes getting them hands raised on them computers is not easy. Okay. So, it's here. How much time we got left, Phil? A minute or two? If you guys have anything left to say, I will make sure that I get you all the information for the convention, and I will also make sure Sarah gets it to you, too, but I will definitely get it to you. And thank you for participating tonight. We all really appreciate it.
Well, likewise to you, Pam. Thanks for doing this, putting it together. Thanks to the amazing membership of CCB and Kahlua.
Yeah,
my favorite acronym.
Thank you,
America. Yeah, really terrific conversation. Thank you all, and thank you.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Saran, for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Saran.
Yeah, thank you, Saran, for coming and helping.
Anytime.
I've heard of you. I've never met you. I probably haven't. Don't remember. It's been a minute. I tend to go to Orange County because that's where I started going to Braille 20 years ago, was Orange County. Mm-hmm. So I tend to go to familiar ground,
stomping grounds,
and that was Orange County. Yeah.
Am I clear to stop the recording?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all for your wonderful talk.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah. It was very informative.